So we left off last time with a lot of kashas. But at its core, there was one major kasha, and everything else was laying groundwork for trying to solve it, which was that the Gemara says something and the Ramah totally ignored it. That's the central kasha. And here we have this discussion about what do you do when both a Jew and a non-Jew took part in a bishul. That's the sugya that stretches from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph to the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And it stretches over the course of five sif and smack in the middle of Simuk if you get more from Sivav to Sif Yod. And the very first Ramah in Sivav seems to flat out contradict the very first thing that the Gemara, Kemat, the first thing the Gemara had said. You remember that Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, where the cases are where the Jew begins and the non-Jew jumps in second. And Ches Amud Beis have been the reverse, the cases where the non-Jew begins and the Jew jumps in second. And Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the case where the Jew begins and the non-Jew joins him, there were two members. There was a member of Shmuel and a member of Rabbi Yochanan. The Shmuel was really the one who had spoken specifically to this issue. Yochanan made a general comment about Machal ben Rusa. Shmuel specifically said that the Jew goes first and non-Jew goes second. Mutter. Once the Jew puts the basar gabi cholim, the non-Jew comes and turns it. It's mutter. It remains mutter. That's what Shmuel had said. And the Gemara had said, "I don't understand." Either what he's saying is obvious, or what he's saying is incorrect. Either it's Pasha. Yeah. If what the Jew did was sufficient, was adequate to cook it, so that's Bishul Yisrael. So what does it matter to me whether the Nachri comes by as Mehapiach or not? What the Nachri did was not necessary. And therefore, it's in substantive. This is Bishul Yisrael. Of course, it's one. Pshita. And if what the Jew did is not a Bishul, what the Jew did, the Jew put it on the fire in a way it was too far to the side, it would not have cooked. So then that it wasn't Bishul Yisrael, it was Bishul Akum. So then it should be Aser. So how does Shmuel tell me as a Chiddush that it's Mutter? Either it's trivially, obviously Mutter, or in fact it's Aser. Make your mind, is it Bishul Yisrael? Is it not Bishul Yisrael? To which the Gemara answers, aha, it must be that Shmuel is talking about the in-between case. There is an in-between case, and that is what? That's what the Jew did something adequate, but the Nachri accelerated. It was Makar of the Bishul. The way the Jew put it would have cooked eventually, but the way the Nachri turned it, moved it, shifted it, now it's going to cook more quickly. So there are arguments to be made in both ways. It is Bishul Yisrael, but on the other hand, the Nachri also did Bishul. They both did Bishul. Ah! Here the Taka both did Bishul, so that's Taka. Interesting. So what's Taka that did? Shmuel says, even that case is Mutter. And then the Gemara brought in Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan said that Machal ben Drusai is where it's at. And Rabbi Yochanan, again, although it sounds very general, Machal ben Drusai matters, but as we pointed out last time, the language was Machal ben Drusai is not a problem Bishul Akum. So he can't be telling me the general din that it's called Bishul when you do Machal ben Drusai, so it's Bishul. The guy gets it to Machal ben Drusai, and then it's us. No, he's saying Machal Drusai is a heter. How is that? Once you get to Machal ben Drusai, it's mutter. Obviously, that means once a Jew gets to Machal ben Drusai, it's mutter. Shmuel didn't make that distinction. The Gemara answers, well, it depends whether you have one mass of Bishul or two masses. It came off the fire and then goes back on. That's where Machal ben Drusai is going to matter. If what the Jew did is a Bishul, even though the non-Jew jumped in second, early, before the point of Machal ben Drusai, one big mice of Bishul, it's going to remain mutter. If it came off the fire, then and it wasn't yet Machal ben Drusai, so what the Jew did is gone, that's not the mice of Bishul. Now it goes back on the fire. Nachri puts it back on the fire for a round two, and that he's the one who does the Bishul, he's the one who gets it over the Machal ben Drusai line, then it's Aser. That was the short version of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. And again, so when is it Aser? If the Jew goes first, how could it be Aser according to the Gemara? In one of two ways. Either what the Jew did was totally inadequate, or the Jews' session. Quantitatively, it is qualitatively the way the Jew put on the fire isn't called bishul; it was too far away to ever cook. So then, that's the most pushback against Shmuel. Or the Jew may have put on very nicely, but it came off before it ever got to mouth of the Jew. Okay, so those are only cases where the Jew begins and yet it's awesome. The problem was, we looked at the Shulchan Aruch, here's where the Ramah from the get-go ignores it. Here you have the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said, Vav, said, Bishal Yisrael Ma'at Bishulo, B'tchila, B'sof, Moti. Ramah like too, even in low afiloim is bashel below siyuahak. Even though it would not have cooked without the nachri's assistance. So everyone attacks the Ramah, the Shach, the Taz, the Pichadosh, the Gra. Everyone waves their flags. They say, wait, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara said Mefarish. It's not true. The Gemara said if it's not mizbashel without the nachri, so then Shmuel isn't talking about that. That talk is also. How is the Ramah flat out against the Gemara?
It's interesting
that
the Ramah is in
Sif Yud
and not in Sif Yud. Sif Yud is really where he did, where the Ramah disagrees with.
Good. Right, Sif Yud, right, is where the Jew is returned to Sivav. The Jew put it on. There was Gechalim Omimos. Right, the fire was so low, the coals were so low that it couldn't have cooked it all. This is a quote from the Rashba and the Torah Zabayis. Sif Yud. As a tour, makes it clear. The tour, you open the tour, so at the end of this discussion, he says, Kasa Rashba, this is the Gechalim Omimos. He says, if it was almost a little bit, the coals are a little low, it's going to cook, but it's going to be slow, and then the Nachri enhances things. That's Shmuel, that's Mutter. But if it's almost so much that nothing's going to happen at all without the non-Jews' assistance, then it's Mutter right. So that's the other half of the Mechaber. And the truth is, as... To a certain extent, at the Shach and Taz begin to point out a bit, we almost feel like we've been through this rodeo before, because the Beis Yosef had asked the same kash on the Rishonim. The same way the Taz and the Shach and the Gra and the Prichadosh all attacked the Ramah. Hey, I had to leave this out. The truth is, the Tur left it out. The Tur said at the beginning of the discussion what the Shulchan Aruch says. Didn't say anything, Mitovadra, about the distinctions that the Gemara drew between whether would it have been mispashal without the Nachri or not. And the Beis Yosef says, a Tema. Well, had the Tur leave it out, had the Ram leave it out. So he says, well, exactly what you said, Glenn. He says, well, but the Tur didn't tell any of it, but later on, he quotes the Gechalim Omos. So you have to read further on, you'll put all the pieces together. He tries to miyash the Rambam too. Oh, the Rambam really, Rambam meant it also. He doesn't say it, but that's really what he meant. Yeah, the problem is the Ramah seems pretty explicit. The Ramah seems pretty explicit. So the Taz has two approaches to Rambam. Initially, in the beginning of the wide line, Sifkan Vav, he, I would say, basically tries to be miyash the Ramah the way the Beis Yosef was miyashev the tour of the Rambam, loosely speaking, meaning to say he really meant it also. It doesn't sound like he's saying that, but that's really what he's saying. It's very, very difficult. He says, well, when the Rambam, the Taz says, when the Ramah said it wouldn't be mispashal without the help of the guy, it meant it wouldn't have been mispashal as much. Meaning, kiruvei bishul. It's difficult. So I said, Tzarech Lama, that's what it means.
First, you have to be a
Tzarech Lama. But then he says, you read on, and he ultimately backs away from that. And I want to develop what I think the Taz is driving at. The Shach is perhaps driving this as well. It's a long Shach. I think what I said last week, I said, the Shach is really going to say this other approach, not the Taz. I realize I was looking, I opened up Shulchan Aruch again today. I was wrong. I think the Taz is really going to sharply give another approach. And it could be it's what the Shach is driving at also. But to appreciate where these Achronim are going and trying to understand the Ramah. So we had left off, we had said yes last time, there really is a whole series of problems. There's a whole series of problems. Which the Taz, as a matter of fact, points out. Taz points out at least one or two of those problems. One problem is that the and this is what the Taz goes on to say. Tosfos on the top of Lamaches Mabez, the top Tos is going to quote an idea from the Gaonim. Hashlachas Kisim. You can even throw a. The Gemara says on Lavan Chesna Beis that when you're baking bread, to make bread mutter, the Nachri is baking, it suffices that the Shagar Yisrael, that the Jew lit the fire, or that the Jew enhanced the fire, that he stoked the fire. So the Tosa, top Tosa, Dimas of Asa, says. Sometimes we don't even do that. We don't even light the fire or stoke the fire. We just throw in a toothpick. Throw in a little bit of extra wood. Hashlachas kissim. So the Tosis writes, beginning from the second line, Tosis. Hashinogul hashlach kissim latano. We have the practice that we think that we will merely throw a speck of wood into the fire, and that's enough to matro the bread. And Ashkenazim assume this is true not only for bread, but even for bishul. Well, how does that work? The Tosa says, well, that's the Gaonim quote this idea. Dvarim shebein b'nei bavel b'nei eretz Yisrael. That's the work of the Gaonim that listed differences between the practices of Gaonei bavel and Gaonei eretz Yisrael. So one of the differences was hashlachas kisim. The Ka'amar b'nei bavel mashlichin kisim latana. The b'nei bavel held tell hashlachas kisim is mutter. That suffices, and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Mara of Bnei Eretz Yisrael, so that's absurd. Kisim zema ma'alma morid. A speck of wood do, it's nothing. No. Anonim shachnacha Bnei Bavel v'salmudam. So it says, well, it's a machalok is Bnei Bavel Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Gaone Bavel Gaone Eretz Yisrael. So since we follow Tal Bavli, we also follow the Bavli tradition. But that's strange. As Tosis themselves point out, it's strange because you're not actually cooking anything. You're not actually contributing. You're not taking part. You're not doing bishul. As a matter of fact, how did Tosis get into this? Because when the Gemara had said you're stoking the fire, the Tosis says, well, be cool to top line the Tosis. Be cool to shmait and mashma deva'in sheye yisrael mekarva bishul ksas. This whole sugya. Note the language. The whole sugya indicates the Jew has to be makar of the bishul somehow. You have to actually be substantively doing bishul. And Amud Avod used kir of bishul. The other sense is that non-Jew is doing kir of bishul, but the Jew is doing the bishul. The Tosfos Torah using the language the other way around. The Jew has to actually be doing some bishul. So what's the point of stoking the fire, which the Gemara mentioned? Well, stoking the fire, you're also doing bishul. Right? The bread is in the oven. Fire is getting a little low. You poke around the fire, you make the fire warmer, you make the fire hotter. So now you're accelerating the bishul, the afiyah. So that's Tosis that said, I understand the idea of chitoy. That's actually a substantive part of the bishul. Again, that's the braisa in Beitza. If you already have food on the stove and then I light the fire, lighting the fire is not only malach of havara, it's also malach of bishul. Or if I raise the fire, the bread's in the oven and I raise the fire, so that's an act of afiyah. That's kiruv bishul. So that's what Tosu says. You stoke the fire, I understand. Bashlachas kissim. And the rush is clearer. I mean, look in the rush, he explains even more. And as a matter of fact, it's rare that the Mitzvah Shas will do that, but here he does. You see the star in the middle of Tosis. Ayin Barash. The Rush explains more. Rush says, Hashlachas Kisim. Why is that Kirav Bishul? The fire is no hotter. If you had a thermometer that you would be able to tell the difference, you threw in one more stick of wood, garnished. One more toothpick. I'm talking about a log. So Tosis, the Rosh Hashanah unpacks where Tosis is going. They don't explain. They say, well, Mikula Shmaita Mashman, Masha Nog. So the Rosh explains. I mean, and the Sugya sounds like you got to do Vishal. Even the Chitoy. Okay, that you're making the fire substantively hotter. That's a piece of the official lafia. But Hashlachas Kissim, that's very shver. So the Tosa says, yeah, but the Gaonim say it. Machlok is Gaonim, so we follow Gaonim Baal. But the Kasha remains, as the Rosh points out. But it's against our Gemara. Right? It's ironic that Tosa says, we're Nimshach Archa B'nei Bavel this Salmudam. We're following the B'nei Bavel and their Talmud. The Rosh says, no, we're not. We're following the B'nei Bavel against their Talmud. The Talmud Babli says you need Kira Vishal, you need like real Vishal. The Gaon Babel have this idea of Harshlachas Kislev. It's really difficult. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Zion. Siv Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch, now as I mentioned before, there's also Machlokas, Ashkenazim, and Sfaradim, this idea, the Gemara only mentions dealing with the fire as opposed to the food, explicitly only mentions it by Pas. So the Shulchan Aruch takes the Sfaradic approach. Ain Shig Siv Zayin, Ain Shigiris HaTanur Mo Elas El Bapas. So adjust the fire is only sufficient by Pasak. Bishar Mizbashim, you're dealing with food. Raising the fire, lighting the fire, irrelevant. Hanacha davka, you have to put the food on the fire or stir the food. Fika harotza levashel b'machavas. You want to cook in a pan. You're going to put into Nachri's oven. So shi'itanei yisrael machavas so chatanor lemakom arilis bashel ba. The Jew has to be the one, let's say the non-Jews, is I think common medieval practice in Ashkenaz, certainly. And I think even in the early modern period. That ovens, significant ovens, you know, individual people couldn't afford either the infrastructure or the wood. So you had a baker in town who had an oven that was capable of baking bread and that was capable of cooking chumt. So Jews would come and wrap up the chumt and bring it to Erev Shabbos and stick it in the oven. And then come on Shabbos and pick it up. So he says, if you're going to use a Nachri's oven to cook your food, the Mechaber says, since I hold, like the Ran and the other Sfaradi Rishon, that Shkiras HaTanur is only for Pas, but for Bishul, you have to do the actual Bishul of the food, says you better, it's not enough that the Nachri puts the food in his oven and then you poke the coals. That's not going to help. You have to put the food in yourself. You stir. You're not going to stir. It's wrapped up in the oven. So you better slide it. And he even stresses, "Lamakam haroy lehis bashelbo," has to be the place where it actually could cook. And this again goes back to your point. Not only does the mechaber stress that the Jew has to do enough to cook in Siv Yud, he also says it here in Siv Zayin. Now, what does Ramah say? Now, let's unpack the Ramah in Siv Zayin. He says, number one, yesh chol kunsfilu adlakas ha'esh. There's one issue I take issue with the Mechaber is the Ashkenazim think that lighting the fire or stoking the fire works not only for Pas, but for Bishul as well. What's the issue? So the Taz, Sivkat and Zayin, explains the logic for differentiating, the logic behind the Sephardic approach. He quotes the Ran, Sivkat and Zayin of the Taz. The Ran calls the Vatam Shishkir Tatan Bapas, Melacha Miyuchadasba. He says, when it comes to bread, lighting the fire is a real Melacha. As we know, baking, temperature really matters. There's a lot more chemistry. The chemistry is a lot more delicate. Baking 325 versus baking 375, you know, one of them is going to work, the other one's not going to work. If you're cooking upon the fire, fire's a little, you know, higher, so it'll cook more quickly. The fire's a little lower, it'll take longer to cook. But it's not fundamentally different. So that's the how the Ron, not the only explanation, but that's the standard explanation the Ron gives. That lighting the fire is a much more significant piece of the Bishul story, or by the Afia story, by Bas. As opposed to Bishul, it's not so significant. Okay. The Ramah says, okay, but the Ashkenazim disagree. Ashkenazim say, no. It's even true, but the Gemara gave the example by Pas, it's even true by Bishul. By the way, where did they get it from? See, either it's all the same, or why should we differentiate? Or there are Rishonim who say, you know, I said before, it seems like, thank you, it seems like the Gemara only said it by Pas, but it could be the Gemara actually said it by Bishul too. Hafach Bo, the Rishonim debate, how do you translate back on Lama Zayin and Lama Ches and Lav? In Niach Yisrael, the original memory, Niach Yisrael, Basak Avichon, Va'akon, Va'hafach Bo, it's Hafach Bo. It's actually, if you trace the Rishonim, it's Machlokas, it means Hafach, you turn the meat, or you turn the coal. That's, so the Gemara may already explicitly be saying that even by Bishul, you know, poking around the fire is good enough. So that, okay, Ramah says, number one, you should know that the Machlo is Ashkenaz and Sephardim. Machal is representing the Sephardim, I'm representing the Ashkenaz. So even if you're putting your pan of food, it's not bread, it's a pan of food, into the oven, Ashkenaz would say it's enough to, if the Nachri wants to be the one to put the food in, or he only lets you sort of put it in at the very edge, it's not going to cook there, then he's going to slide it in. No problem, just take a poker and poke the fire afterwards and you're all good.
Would it be Bahama or Bum?
Yes, I think that some Rishonim have it as a plural. That's how you see that it's... Then the Ramah says there's another issue. He says, V'chein Ogen, that's Ashkenazi practice is that lighting the fire is good enough, even for Bishul. Then he says, turn the page, Afilu, Rama continues, the end of Suzanne. Afilu chitui below kavana mahanimo. Okay, it could be machati without paying attention. The yeshomim, here he goes. Afilu chitui Yisrael, lohishel shom kisim. The second point he makes is we have low standards. It could be chitui. Or it could be hashloch as kisim. Aha. Or it could even be and I lit a fire, and the Nachri lit the oven. I lit a candle, and the Nachri lights the oven with my candle. Or I light a pilot light, and the Nachri turns on the gas, and the fire is actually cooking the food. Lights from the pilot. It's called Eish Me'eish. So that's even a step beyond. Tosafot that said the Hashlachas Kisim is already sort of going on a no pun intended, going on a limb, and. Ramah says there are other Harachachmei Ashkenaz that say Hashlachas Kisim, at least you did something to the fire that's cooking the food. You didn't do much. You did something. Here you did nothing. I mean, you're just you're the backstory. You're the origin story. I lit the candle, but the candle is not being used at all to cook directly to cook the food.
Right.
Because it's necessary. Okay, good. Good. So that's okay. That's a fair argument. That's a fair argument. Historically, again, so maybe a pilot is somewhat better also because the equipment is built in a particular way. And the only way to get this fire going is with a pilot. A typical case of Eish Me'eish, though, Ramah's willing to make even if you just had a candle. You didn't need the candle to... I didn't need to light my fire over there and then carry with a candle over here. I could have brought the flint and steel over here and lit the fire directly. But you're right. The pilot maybe is better. But the Ramah is willing to make go. Kiss them already. Tosafot and Rosh are scratching their heads. It's against the Gemara. The Ramah is saying, shoo, give up Eish Me'eish. What on earth does that have to do with Bishul? Would you ever have a Hava Mina? If I hand the... Reuven hands a candle, lit candle to Shimon on Shabbos. And Shimon takes the candle and goes and lights the oven and cooks something in the oven. We'd say it's Reuven's Maisa Bishul. Hayala al das, no shaykhs. So what's going on? And the truth is, so what do we have? Now we have a Ramah that our opening Ramah, he ignores the first line of the Gemara that if the Yisrael has to do in order to mutter, the Yisrael has to do something that can do Bishul. Number two, area number two that's problematic is this whole business of Chitui, Kisum, Eish Me'eish. The Ramah, it's intriguing that the Chachmi Ashkenaz think that applies to Bishul also. Okay, despite the fact that Ramah pointed out it's not really so relevant to Bishul. Okay. But more fundamentally, there's this extreme of Kisim is not Bishul. Tosis is already bothered by that. The Ramah is taking it even further. He's taking Kisim, but not only does Kisim work, it's Pashit, even Eish Me'eish. There's something else which is strange, though. It's not just Ramahs. Let's deal with the third Ramah, though, and then we'll go back to the Gemara itself. We have the Ramah who thinks that as long as the Jew starts, it's mutter despite the fact that the Jew did something insignificant. It's against the Gemara. Number two, we have the Rishon already bothered by how's Kisim work. Ramah embraces it and goes a step further and talks about Eish Me'eish. And then the third difficult Ramah, in addition to Sivav and Sivzayin, is Se'if Tes. What is Ramah saying, Se'if Tes? This is, once again, it's not really the Ramah. The Ramah is quoting. Se'if Tes is a Machlokes Mechaber Ramah. Se'if Tes of the Shulchan Aruch is a continuation of Se'if Ches, which was the Rabbi Yochanan discussion. If you have two separate sessions, if the food actually came off the fire, Nasin Shul Kadir Ha'esh and Se'if Ches, and then Silka, if the Jew put the fire on, when the fire, it stays there. But it was in a place where it could have cooked. Whatever non-Jew is going to do is not going to make it us. But if it came off the fire, non-Jew put it back on, that's already not Shmuel Bar Yochanan. Then it's going to be usser if the Jew had not gotten it to Machal Ben Drusar. Okay, Jew got it to Machal Ben Drusar. His mutter did not get it to Machal Ben Drusar, usser. Because now there are two separate sessions. There's a Jewish session, came off, the non-Jewish session. Which one was the bishul? First one, second one. Okay. How about if you reverse it? How about if the non-Jew put it on the fire, comes off, the Jew puts it back on the fire? That's Siftes, the exact flip. Bishlo Akum Kamachal Ben Drusai, the Gomer Yisrael. How about if the non-Jew put it on the fire, it gets to Machal Ben Drusai, and then comes off? Fire goes out, or the food comes off. Non-Jew puts it back on. Now what? So the Mechaber, according to Rashba, says, that's Aser. It's the same logic as before. The Gemara spoke about a case, you had two sessions, the Jew went first. That's why I was on Lam Chesed off. And if it's reversed, same logic. Right? The non-Jew put on the fire, and then it came off. I'll give you a practical example. Right? This is what we started talking about last week. It's a dramatic example, it'll stick in your head. Right? The case of the Bishul Akam surprise. You walk into the kitchen, and you discover that the Nachri has food on the fire. They want to surprise you with their favorite Spanish omelet. So it's already on the fire. Kavanasim Rutsuya. But Maseyem, perhaps. Enim Rutsuya. They meant well. They want to do something nice. But like, well, there's Bishul Akam cooking in my kitchen. So the natural reaction often, if you have one of the sugyas, is stop, drop, and roll. So the first thing you do is get it off the fire, put out the fire, and then we'll figure it out. Of course, that's not the best thing to do. The best thing to do is let the Maase Bishul continue and you jump in and stir it. But if you would do that, that would be mutter. But if you go with the natural reaction, which is pull it off the fire right away, so that's not an involvement of the Jew and the Bishul, I pull it off. Or if I turn the fire off, and now I'm going to do what? Relight the fire and now put it back on. I'm going to put it back on the fire. So that'll be, that's this case that the Mechaber is talking about in Siftes. Right? The Rashba, the mirror image of Rabbi Yochanan. You should have said, well, if you would have jumped in and stirred it in the same Maase Bishul, so good, so now this is a joint Maase Bishul, Jew, non-Jew. That's what the Gemara says, Melaches Beis Mutter. But you took it off the fire, or you turned off the fire. So now the Nachri is Maisa is done. If he already got to Malcha Ben Drusai, Aser. If he did not get to Malcha Ben Drusai, obviously Mutter. If he got to Malcha Ben Drusai and then it comes off the fire without your participation, sorry. It's that's Bishul Akam. You're going to put it back on the fire? What's that going to help? The Rebbe became treif. Rebbe became chazer. Nasus nevela. To borrow our Basavachar terminology. It's a shtick nevela. So now you're going to put it back on the fire? Now you're cooking the tray for food. What are you doing? That's what the Mechaber says. The Rashba. Also. But then the Mechaber starts saying, well, unless it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, or Hefzim Ruv Adavar. What does that mean? That means the Tzarech Gadol is Mutter. Why is Mutter the Tzarech Gadol? That means the Machlok is already shown him. And the Mechaber says, generally we want to be Machlok like the Rashba, but the Tzarech Gadol will to make on the other position. Who is the other position?
Rush.
It is the Rush. Which the Ramah quotes. Yesh Vatirin B'chol Inyan. Ramah says, I don't think this is just when you have your back up against the wall. There's no, and again, Erev Shabbos doesn't mean you have five sides, you're going to have four. Erev Shabbos means this is your food for Shabbos. This is your chal. And this Shabbos day Suda is going to be chal and chal to maybe a vegetable. So if his mom is going to, or you're not going to have enough food for the guests. Something like that. But the Ramah says, no! We hold the rush. We hold the rush in all cases, not just b'shas hatcha. I see a long list of rishonim. You'll notice almost all of them are chachmei Ashkenaz. Tur Korin, the rush. Rabbi Peretz, the Izran in there. Rabbi Peretz, my Rutenberg is the hetter, the smock, and so on and so forth. V'chein nohagin. Amos says. Plenty of Rishonim. And in Darke Moshe, actually attacked the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef. Mechaber has like the Rosh book. Because the Beis Yosef, he said, it's just the Rosh. But you have the against the Rashba, and against the Ran, against Rabbeinu Chananel. So he said, the Sephardic approach, that's the dominant approach. And the Darke Moshe says, why did you say the Rosh is Das Yachid? A couple lines earlier, you said that there are other Rishonim. Maram Rutenberg also says like the Rosh. The Rebbe Peretz also says like the Rosh. The Dr. Moshe says, excuse me, why are you saying the Rosh is the Das Yachid? They're playing, and Rav Mar actually has a fascinating line. He says, once it's Rabim against Rabim, you have the Rosh with the Ran, Rebbe Chananel against the Rosh Maram Rutenberg and Rebbe Peretz, how are you going to decide? So Dr. Moshe has a fascinating line. He says, especially Maram Rutenberg, he was such a machmir, he's always machmir. Maram Rutenberg was a Chassidei Ashkenaz. Always be Machmer. And here he's Mekel. That you gotta give that extra weight. Lamaisa, this is also Shver. Forget about which way Rove Rishonim say. It Bisvara. It's the same problem. What?
Same thing. Same problem. It's the Machlokas and how you understand the Rambam.
Good.
It's the same thing. How you understand
Givaldic.
The because the Ramallah holds the Rambam like the Rabbas, basically.
Givaldic. So we go back to the way it said that the original kasha. Again, now what do we have? We have three Shvera Ramas. And we have the Raman Sifal, which just seems like he's against the Gemara. If the Jew starts his mutter, even if he what he did is inadequate. We have Sif Zion. He totally, number one, it's interesting that Chachmei Ashkenaz believed that Shkiras HaTanur is works for Bishul. Shkiras HaTanur is difficult because you're not really doing Bishul. Moreover, he totally embraces Kissim and even is open to Ishmael. And then in Siftas, he totally embraces the approach of the Rosh against the Rashba, which is logically very hard to understand. What do you mean? But by the rules of Bishul, ought to all be symmetrical. Jew first, non-Jew first. Who, if there's two separate sessions of Bishul, whichever one got it on the Malcha Ben Drew sideline, that is the Bishul. If the Nachri's first session made it us, so I don't think you put it back in the fire now to become Mutter. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean? So the truth is, as we said before, the Achronim's attack on the Ramah Sevav is really the Beis Yosef's attack on the Torah and the Rambam. Except the Beis Yosef has said the Torah is not really so shver, because the Torah doesn't say it here, but you read on, he quotes the Rashba of the Gechalim Ovamos. What's interesting, though, is how does the Beis Yosef deal with the Rambam? He says, well, Efshir Sheniru Loshu Davar Pashat. L'chein Lohutzrach L'kassel. Well, maybe the Rambam is so obvious he doesn't have to write it. That would be very uncharacteristic of the Rambam. And from the language of Beis Yosef, it's clear that he's not sure this is such a good tariff. Maybe, Efshir. He's really bothered. The Rambam left it out. And so now let's take a look at that Rambam, because he leaves out a lot. It leaves out a lot. And then you begin to know what he left out, and you begin to know what he did write. And it's a very, very fascinating pattern. Where does he even talk about it? It's hard to even find where he quotes the sugya. He stuck in the sugya Lamaches Tavon Aleph into the definition of Bishalakim. He begins the Isurei Chasnus in Halachatas. Halachas Yud Beis Yud Gimel is pas. He gives you a list on halacha tes. It's deemed rabbanim. It sort of parallels the way it works with mitzvahs daraisa. It gives you a list and then he expands on it. So halacha tes he mentions at the end two of the examples be pas and bishul, as well as other things. Says he can't drink with them. Yein akum pas akum bishul akum. And Yud Yud Aleph is about yein akum. Yud Beis Yud Gimel is about pas akum. We'll come back to that soon. And then Yudalad and on is Bishalach. So here he defines. Yudalad says what we had already seen. That's where he gives the two conditions of Nechel Kamo Shuchai is Halach Yudalad. Tezvav is Ol Shem Chomach. Halach Yudalad, Goshe Bishalon, Yain, Chalav, Dvash, Prishin. All these things that are edible raw, wine, milk, honey, fruits. Kaldavar Nechel Kamo Shuchai. This is Perek Yud Zayin, the last Perek of Machalas Asuris. Sorry, Halacha Yudal. Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yudal. He says, this is the basic definition. This is opening line of Bishalachim. So far, he just mentioned in the list of items in Halacha that there is something called Bishalachim. He begins to define it here. If a non-Jew cooks a davar nechel chai, like wine, he reboils wine, he heats milk to make hot chocolate, creamy hot chocolate, not water-based, milk-based. And so on and so forth. He bakes fruits. Nechachai, that's the mutter. Lo gazer el davar she'eim nechachamo shukai. There only goes there. He cooks something that cannot be eaten raw. Meat, fish, eggs, vegetables. That's susceptible to bishlachim. Here he says it. If the guy cooks it, so then it's bishlachim. Here we go. In bishlachim ha'gai, but it doesn't just say bishlachim ha'gai. It's a long sentence. If the non-Jew cooked it from beginning to end and the Jew did not participate, then I read a lasur mishum bishalach. See, this whole sugya, he jams it into the basic definition. Other dinim he'll talk about later. He'll have a whole siman, a whole halacha rather, about Ol Shulchan Aruch. He'll have a whole halacha about the din of kavana. We had discussed earlier. More than one halacha about the Olah Shulchan Aruch. But this din, this big sugya, you sort of jammed it into one half a sentence. It's fascinating.
Really fall onto Yimogon.
What are you saying? Good. Very good. So halacha Yimogon is where he had discussed that what appears in the Gemara at the end, about the Shkir, about the Nor, Hidlak HaGayis HaTan Rav Afav Yisrael. If the non-Jew lit the fire, and the Jew bakes, or the reverse, Shagar Yisrael, he translates to Hebrew, Hidlak Yisrael HaFagay, or Hidlak HaGayis HaFagay, Vafav HaGayis, Bar Yisrael V'nir HaEsh Ma'at, or Kivasho LeEsh, that's the Chata B'chituyeh, you did something, you stirred it. Notice the Rambam's language is diminishing. Near Boma'at. He's stressing, he didn't even do so much. And he even quotes Hashlachas Kiss.
So,
yes, I'll give up.
So, but the question is that the Nishtate is that the same Nishtate by Bishul too?
You notice the word Nishtate.
Right, he uses the Nishtate.
Comes up Halachia Gimel and Halachia Dalet. And you notice that in Halach Yadal, the Rambam left out, the Rambam like cut out the vast majority of the sugya. For starters, what he cut out, the whole discussion of the later Amoraim, on Lamed Chesamel. Who's he quoting when he says, Bishlan Hagai Mitchil Vat Sofalon Shtapti Yisrael Imab Vishul Arei Elu Asur? Who is he quoting? Which lines of the Gemara is he quoting?
Well,
Well, number one, you have Rabbi Yochanan and Lam Chesan and Beis. Ben Shniach Akum Hafach Yisrael Ben Shniach Yisrael Hafach Akum Mutter Vein Asa Atche Teit Chilasa Vegam Viyada Akum. Okay, he's quoting that, or he's quoting Shmuel. Shniach Yisrael Bo Akum Hafach Bo Mutter, or the Brisa, the Tanya Amiachi, Shniach Yisrael Basar Gavichal Bo Akum Hafach. But what's left out entirely is any discussion about Machal Ben Drusai, any discussion about the beginning. The Gemara had said, hey, that whole Heichi Dami, where we limited, you know, the non-Jew, the Jew starting only helps if he did something that's actually Bishul. And Rambam totally cuts that out. It disappeared. The Rif does something similar. Maybe not exactly the same. Rif also leaves out a lot of the Sugya. The Rif is the Rambam's Masorah comes to the Rif, largely, because the Rif's probably primary Talmud, starting from Rambam's perspective, the Rif's Talmud Mufik was Reb Magash. One of the Reb Magash's Talmud was Rabbi Maimon, father of the Rambam. So the Rambam saw himself as heir to that tradition. The way he talks about the Reb Magash and the Hakadam with the Pirush and Rishnai is, wow. He doesn't speak glowingly about people very often. Sichlo mavis b'chal Thomas. Reb Magash had a scary mind throughout Shas. And he saw the Rambam is typically aligned with the Rif. The Rambam was seeking to write a sefer in many ways apparent after the Rif, although taking a number of steps beyond what the Rif was doing. And in terms of content also, he tends to most of the time be aligned with the Rif. And here, he follows the Rif, at least in general, in terms of not quoting most of the Sugya. So that's what the Beis Yosef had said. Hey, the tour, like the Rambam, is leaving out the whole Shach Vataria, Laman Chesem Alf. So what's Takim Shach? He says, well, the tour quotes it later. By the way, the tour quotes Kasar Rash, but Rambam didn't quote it later. Well, maybe it was Pashat. It was Pashat. Maybe. Alternatively. And you pointed out the language, another clue is that Rama's language isn't that the Jew was mevashel. Rama's language was the Jew is mishtatif, both by pas and by bishul. His shtatfus is good enough, participation, being a partner. Doesn't sound like bishul. And what's more is that while the Rambam, as you pointed out in Halacha Gimel, quotes Kissim, I feel lo zark ella eitz osochatanu, hit to call pashiva. You know, Tosis and the Rosh in particular were very hesitant. Okay, we'll be Mekel, whatever. We're not super excited. And the Rama has no hesitations. There's no hemming and hawing. Yeah. Hashlach is absolutely mutter. Where do you get it from? Everything the Rama has is quotes. Rama writes, he's not writing his own Chidushim. The chidushim come in the way he quotes. He'll quote the Gemara the way he understood it, or he'll understand there's a machlokas, and therefore he'll quote this and leave that out. The hashmatos are very significant because, like the Rif, but even more radically, he's seeking to quote only that which is halacha l'maisa. That's why he'll generally leave out all the shak v'tari and leave out the shitos we don't paskin like. And unlike Bali Atosvos, the Rambam's starting assumption is not that all the sugyas probably agree and we have to be miyashiv how they fit together. He like Rashi and the Rif, was comfortable to saying, if it's the same name in two different places, obviously he's not contradicting himself, but if it's an unnamed Gemara, so it could be a machlok to sugyas, and then we'll figure out how we paskin. That's why I think the Masha, someone showed me a couple years ago, Masha and Sota, says... Darko Shal Rashi to explain different Gemaras differently in ways that don't cohere with one another. I mean, Darko Shal Rashi. And what he presumably means is that Rashi, like the Rambam, was very comfortable assuming, unlike Rabbi Natam and the Bali Atosis who followed him and the later Chachmi Ashkenaz, the Ramban and on who followed, who assumed the default is everything is consistent after Miyashim. No. comfortable saying machlokes asugis. So Rashi is writing a pirush. So he'll, if it's machlokes asugis, he'll write a pirush over here, like what this gemara seems to be assuming, or a pirush over there, like what that gemara seems to be assuming. The Rambam, the Rif, are not writing perushim. They're writing particular. Rambam is not writing a running commentary or anything here. He's giving you the halach loisa. So it'll be not a question of interpreting different gemaras differently, but it'll be a question of leaving gemaras out. If I think Gemara A and Gemara B disagree with each other, so if I'm Rashi, it means I'll give different interpretations of different gemaras. If I'm the Rambam, it means I won't quote both gemaras. I'll only quote the one across the neck. What's the Rambam quoting here? If you lo zark el eitz l'sochatanor, who's he quoting? Right, well... Right, he's quoting the Gaonim, the same source that Tosu was quoting. He's quoting. He's quoting Bnei Bavel, and he's passing like Bnei Bavel very comfortably. Now, Tosus had said, had preceded that by saying, I don't know, this whole business about the Chitur, that's because you're actually being Makarv, doing substantive Kir Bishel. While the Rambam, as we just noticed, when he talks about Chitur, he quotes that same line of the Gemara, he throws in that word Ma'at. Yeah, he did a little bit of trying to diminish the impact of your stoking. And he's very comfortable with Shachas Kisim. Why? So the Rambam says, as you point out, Glenn, he gives an explanation. He seems to be addressing the problem. Shlachas Kisim, why is that much after? Like Tosa said, well, that's not Kira Bishel. Mikula Shemaitin Tosa says, all Sugya sounds like you have to actually do Bishel to make a Mutter. And the Rambam says, no, you don't. You just have to make a Hecker. Where do you get that from? Oh, that's a Lachora. And that brings us back to our talk about last time.
Why I don't understand the Rosh Hashita.
Because
why is the Rush brings the same reason, but then at the end he doesn't like the Kisum. So the Rush holds that because the Rush is the reason why the Machab and the Shai doesn't work, why he doesn't like the Rush. But yet at the end he still doesn't like the Bnei Bavel Shita.
Good. So let's unpack this and let's address why the Rush disagrees. What seems like is going on here is the following. Is that the Rambam seems to have understood, and the Rambam is probably following him, that we have here is a machlokas ha-sugya, but within a single sugya. The anonymous later Amoraim, who are interpreting Shmuel on Lamech Chesed and Aleph, they are assuming that you need a real Gidrei Bishl. And that's what they say. I don't understand. Either it's Pashut or it's not true. And specifically, if what the Jew did initially was inadequate to ever cook the food, then it's taka not mutter, because it's not the bishul of the Yisrael, it's only the bishul of the Nachri. So that based on these Amorim and Lamed Aleph, we don't know their names, but they assume, Stam and the Gemara assume, that it all works with Gidrei Bishul. But when you get to Lamed Chesam and Beis, and Rav Nachman by Yitzhak says, well, if the Jew could go second, it's certainly mutter. Kal v'chomer, what do you say? We saw this last time. He niach akum v'hopech Yisrael, what's it did? Kal v'chomer! Because if gavri yad akum mutter, gavri yad Yisrael, l'kal shkein, it's certainly she mutter. It's even mutter when the Jew went first, the Nachri went second, and the Nachri is doing the gemar, and yet that's mutter. So certainly if the Jew does the gemar, it's certainly mutter. That's not at all Gidrei Bishul thinking. What it is actually, and the Rush himself says, what it is the Rush interprets. What this means is that this has to do with chasnas. The reason why Gemara is more significant is because the chasnas really has to do with the finished product, which we had seen, by the way, weeks ago, when the Rambam presents the two conditions of, going back to the very beginning of the sugya, of Nechav Moshechai versus Olshav Halachim. Nechav Moshechai, that's Gidrei Bishul. It's not Bishul by Rambam Shitasa. But then he said, if you cooked it, if you took something which was inedible and you cooked it, it is a Bishul. But if the finished product isn't Olshav Halachim, it's Mutter, because he had said, because there's no Kshash, it is Bishul, it's Bishul Ha'akum, but there's no Kshash Chasnas. That's what's going on here. Gomor Biyad, Renachma Yitzhak is introducing Chasnas thinking. Is the chashash apply or not? From that perspective, the Gemara is more significant. Oh, so the Rambam seems to have assumed that what just happened is Rav Nachman Yitzchak disagreed with the Amorah, not with the first generation Amorah, not with Shmuel of Yochanan, but with the later Amorah we were interpreting Shmuel. They were bothered what Shmuel was saying. They said, no, it's only to a case where the Jew did a sufficient job initially, because otherwise it's Bishul Hanachri. But Nachma Yitzchak, the Ram understands, would have disagreed. I don't care. It's true that Bishul was done by the Nachri, but the Jew was not Mavashel, but Mishtatev. He was involved. Why? Because all that matters is Heker. The Rambam could not have said it more clearly. The Rosh is uncomfortable, probably because the Rambam's approach is based on his Derech HaLimud. He's comfortable saying, this. The Rambam is arguing the Stamma de Gemara. Machlekes, done. Whereas the Rosh is more averse to just assuming Machlekes. The Gemara didn't say it to Machlekes explicitly. The Gemara didn't posit it. So the Rosh is heir to the approach of Bali Tosos. So he's not ready to just say that I have two different pieces of Gemara. The Gemara didn't say it's a Machlokas, but I'll assume it's Machlokas. Bali Tosos are not excited to go down that road. That's what the Rosh is Tosos and the Rosh are grappling. So the Tosos that said, Bekula Shmaitin, not Bekula Shmaitin. Bekula Shmaitin is Ikir Bishul. And the Gemara is I'm talking about. Yeah, but the Gemara didn't say it's disagreeing. It's just one flow of Gemara. So Tosis says, look, we started to say in the beginning, we never repudiated it. Which, by the way, what did the Taz say, Teretz number two, to the Ramah? When Taz said, well, maybe the Ramah really means what everyone else means also. Right? Then he says, no, but you go back to the Taz. Taz says, here we are back in Sif Vav. Sif Katan Vav. Second white line. The Emes Balabachi Kaim Laki Eshchokin. Ramah quoted that Hadlakas Shechitui works. That's not official. That's garnished. That's even less than the Jew putting on the fire, but a little too far from the fire. You just lit the fire. The food hasn't even shown up yet. You lit the fire that lit the fire. What type of official? There's a whole notion of shagar. Even the Gemara shagar tanur is already difficult. And certainly the extension to Kisim, the extension to Eish Me'eish, how do you make sense of that?
Is that why the Taz has to go to the end, that he has to say that whole thing? It has to be taking
care of the Jewish. Ah, that's the Venir Daiti. The fifth line says, here be Teretz number two. The Haim Sri Lu, they hold. Kisha'om Achach B'Gemara, Dein Asa Shet Chilasu, as Gemara Gomer B'Yad Ha'akom, the Nachma Yitzchak, Hodar Be Misvarazu, they backed out of this initial svara. What do you mean they backed out? In other words, it's machlokas. Nachma Yitzchak is disagreeing with the Amram Havmina, or the Havmin Maskana. But it wasn't the normal language of Havmin Maskana. You know, the Gemara is instructed Havmin Maskana, machlokas, which the Rabbah was very comfortable saying. The Rosh perhaps less so. Apopita below Akum Lahayim is Bashel, but still. Yisrael Siya. Yisrael did something. He helped out. But Chalo Basof is Mutter. Aha. So that means, and that's why Shagar Tanur follows that. Shagar Tanur is also based on the assumption the Jew just lit the fire. They certainly didn't do. You can't say that it was a Bishul Yisrael Venachri. The only Mevashel, or only Ofe is the guy. The Jew just lit the fire and walked away. He lit the fire in an empty oven. Yeah, but that's consistent with Nachma Yitzchak, that to be mutter, you don't need Bishul HaNachri, Bishul HaYisrael. You need merely Hishtatvus Yisrael. It's only going to be Aser, it's only Aser if, not only the Nachri did a Bishul, but also that there's a Chashash Chasnas. It's very parallel to the two conditions of the food. It has to be a Bishul, I mean that the food was inedible raw, but also it's not enough. And by the way, remember we said that how when we spoke about that initial discussion about condition, which food is Bishlach conceptual, we saw that most Rishonim understand there are two shitas. One shita is that the only condition is Nechel Koshuchai, or do you need both conditions? Now looking back, what does that mean? One shita is the only condition Nechel Koshuchai. It has to be Bishl. If it's a Bishl, then it's awesome. The only way it's mutter is if it's not Bishl at all. The other shita, which we accept, is you need both conditions, meaning to be usher has to be a bishul, but that's not enough. To be usher has to be a bishul, and such a bishul where there's real concern of chasnas. As opposed to the finished product isn't so exciting. They nachar made potato chips. It's a bishul, but it's not a bishul that's going to drive chasnas because potato chips aren't socially significant. Mutter. Or the nachar we did here, moving from which foods to how did the process unfold, the nachar we did all of the bishul. But the Jew got involved. So it is Bishul Ha'akam. It's not Bishul Yisrael. The Jew put on the fire in a way they would never would have cooked at all. Unless it's still mutter because the Jew got started. Or the Jew lit the fire and then the Nachi did all the cooking. Or the Jew just threw in a stick. Or the Jew's Eish Me'esh. It's Bishul Ha'Nachi, but still mutter because it's a Bishul Ha'Nachi but with a reduced concern of chasnus. Why? Because as the Ra'os says, it's, and as the Rambam says, because of Hecker. That's Ra'al language. Right? And the Rajba is incredibly consistent. Because the Rajba is the one who said in Siftas, just Gidrei Bishol. There's nothing exciting to look at here. The Rajba is the one who the Torah quoted as saying, just Gidrei Bishol and Sif Yod. He quotes the Gemara straight. Almost, the Jew did something which isn't Bishol. It's awesome. Or Siftes, the Rajba. The non-Jew put on the fire. I got to Machmir Shah, it came off. There's nothing the Jew can do to fix it. It's Bishul Akam and it's it. It's a shtick machal sazuras. That was Rajba language. It's all Rajba Shitas. It's just regular machal sazuras with Gidrei Bishul chasnas, as we had seen earlier in the context of Kalim, in the context of Chola, in the context of Blios and the other examples and Beis Yisrael and so on and so forth, the Rajba had rejected saying that if there's a hacker, that makes them mutter.
So if that's the case, then why is the Taz have to like jump through hoops to try to figure out the Ramah and say that it has to be talking about in the house of a Jew?
Good.
The Taz just live with that. The Ramah holds like the Rambam, and it happens anyway. But he's very adamant. He's trying to find a way to reconcile everything, and he's like, there must be that the Ramah's only talking about it. It's in a Jewish house.
The Rambam only says it by pas. He doesn't go that far.
No, but when it comes to the Mishnah, you say Mishnah is the same term. But maybe he's defining Mishnah and pas. But then when he uses the term Mishnah by bushel, he means the same term.
So that's a leap, but he doesn't mention lighting the fire.
Correct. So we haven't yet brought in, it's an interesting question to think about, now, as could it be that this machlokas Ashkenazim Sfarim also was like another nafkamina in this underlying issue, that the Ron made a good point, from a substantive, but there isn't much substance to lighting the fire unless you're dealing with pas. And maybe the other side would say, yeah, but it's still a hacker. It's still a hacker. Maybe. Aye, but the Rambam's on the wrong side of the story. And that's what you're saying also. You're saying, let me translate what Eric is saying, is really there are four Rambams. There's Rambam Sivah, Rambam Siv Zayin, Rambam Siv Tes, and Rambam Siv Tes Zayin, who had quoted the Ra'ah, that if Nachri cooks for Chol Shei Mosaka on Shabbos, that alone is enough of a hacker. There's no Bishul Akam, that Briam can eat it as well. And even after Shabbos, you can eat it, and that was part of that long Ra'ah, which the Ramah quoted, while the Mechaber there did not quote the Ra'ah, and said, quote the Rajba, that we're worried about Blias and Kale. Right? So this is Mamish Mechaber Ramah L'shitasim. So says Eric, so why is the Taz getting so bent out of shape by this Ramah? It's no different than the Ramah in Siftei Zayin. It's all the same. Isn't this all the same issue? It shouldn't all be the same issue. So why is the Taz less comfortable with this Ramah about the Jew put it on in a way that wouldn't be misbasha? Why is that any less comfortable than the Amir La'akam situation? So the answer is the following. The answer to both questions, you're asking why is the Taz, let's come to some of that. And Asher, you're asking why is it potentially the past Bishul distinction is also telling this, yet the Rambam there is Machmir. So the answer is probably the following. The answer is And meanwhile, by the way, the other thing, almost everyone, including the Rashba, paskins that Ein Ol Shel Chalachim is Mutter. Right? Okay, but that's part of the core. You don't necessarily have to read that like the Rambam. But even if you're going to, if you're not going to be a Rashbite, and you're going to accept that Hecker plays a role, the question that can still come in gradations. Now, for instance, I could say that Hecker is Matir, but we could still debate is Eshme Esh Mutter now. Why? If you think Hecker is Matir is Mutter, the answer is look, on the other hand, no one's going to say that since you have to make a Hecker, so if you come, the Jew comes by and puts a sticker on the food, now it's Mutter. Why not? I did a Hecker. No, you can't just make up your own Hecker. It has to be a substantive Hecker. Well, what's the concept of Hecker? The concept of Hecker and the way in which it relates to the Chashash Chashas and the Ra'ah thinking, Ra'ah himself had said, is look, Chazal said we don't want it to eat Bishuli Ha'akum because we're worried that if there are no speed bumps to freely socialize with non-Jews, it'll get you to bad places. There has to be something to remind you, like, this is a religiously dangerous situation. You know, proceed with caution. Handle this gingerly. So there are going to be times when you can't eat the food. Or you'll be able to eat the food, but only if you did something funny. Now, so you could have said, telling me that the Jew should go into the kitchen and stir the pot, now they make some mutter, isn't that worse? Now the Jew is, in the shtatev, you're partnering with the Nachri, isn't that worse? The answer is no, but the point is, you have to do something funny in order to eat. So the very fact you're doing something funny, as in Erev and other parts of Halacha, a Hecker means, this is a reminder this is different. So you're going to, if I know, I can hear, I can, in this restaurant, I can only eat if I stir the pot. I can only eat if we made sure that I lit the fire beforehand, or I had to give him a candle with which he lit his fire. So it is Bishul Akum, but I've reduced the concern of chasnas because I had to do something weird in order to, I knew I couldn't eat normally. It's a speed bump. So we can debate, you can accept the concept and debate the details. You can accept the concept that even if it's basically Bishul Akum, but a Hecker will make a mutter because I'm reducing the chasnas, and chashash chasnas is part of the getter I did, not just the tam I did. You can accept that, and we can still debate the details. Well, how far does it go? Is this enough of a Hecker? Is that enough? Eish me'eish, is that enough Hecker? Or that's like totally disconnected, that's not sufficient Hecker. But I can accept in concept the Hecker makes a mutter while debating, where to draw a line, what's called a Hecker. So that's why, right, that's what the Taz would say, this is ridiculous. What, look, let's put this, let me take the Taz to the next level. Let's say the Jew, what's the Ramaz v'Mekel? The Jew, and the Rambam is Lahar B'Mekel, the Jew took the food, the food out of the fridge, the raw food out of the fridge, and put it on the fire, which such a tiny fire that it never would have cooked. Right? Rambam says mutter, Rambam seems to say mutter. So let me ask you a question. Let's say the Jew is running out in the morning, so you took the food out of the fridge, and you laid it on the counter. And the Nachri comes by and takes the food on the counter, and processes it and puts it on the fire. Would you say that's mutter? No, that's for sure not. You put it on the counter. The Jew did nothing. The Ramah is makel. If you put it on the fire, but it's too far away to cook.
I was going
to
ask about marinating.
Ah, okay, right. Let's say, right, I ripped open the package. That's enough of a Hecker. I marinated it. That's enough of a Hecker. So what did I do? So you say, no, of course, that's ridiculous. You didn't do anything. So what I do here, I put it on the fire in a way that it can't cook. So maybe that's also nothing. Kissim, I did something to the fire that's cooking it. Eish me'eish, you said, boy, that's also, in a certain sense, more significant. I provide the candle that lit the whole fire. But here what I do, I put it on the counter. I put it on the stovetop, but the fire is so tiny, it's the same as the counter. So that's why this is a very, you can accept in concept that Hecker matters without going so far as to say that we therefore reject the whole Shaka V'Tayr and Amnav. That's a leap which the Rambam makes, and the Rif perhaps makes, and the Rama makes. The Beis Ezra points out it's not just the Shach points out. Not just Rama, the Rama is based on the Isser Hetter, one of the late Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, and Yonah the Ashkenazi. But that's a big stretch. So that's why when you get into the details, that's when the... And that's why, again, coming back to Halacha L'maisa, as you pointed out, even the Taz who defends Rama says, I could give a conceptual defense, but I'm not very excited about this. That's a Halacha L'maisa. Let's wrap back to Halacha L'maisa. Now that we saw that what undergirds the sugya is yet another major set of nafkaminas and the core chakira that runs throughout Bishul Akum, this machlokas Rajba Ra'ah, which always already seems also machlokas Balayatosis about Tam Ke'ikr. And we're also seeing it's not just Ra'ah, it's also the Rambam and maybe begrudgingly the Rosh against the Rajba, the Shitasa. There are oodles of nafkaminas in to is chasnas merely the tam, or is that tam part and parcel integrated into the actual application of the din? Not only is relevant, we had a whole host of nafkaminas earlier, which included the tam kikr and blias and kalim and chole, and then several other cases that Ra'ah had come up with. And the question of Beis Yisrael, which Tosis had raised, and the question of certain types of workers. Maybe there's enough of a difference there, but also all these issues about Gidrei Habishul. If the Jew is Mishtatef, but wasn't Mivashel, whether that means that he did the initial step, but it wasn't adequate to have done any cooking. Or that the Jew put it back on the fire after the non-Jew already completed what is a self-sufficient act of bishul. It was on to Tamach Ben Yisrael and it came off. Or just these hekerim, where the Gemara already raises a shagar tanur, I lit the fire before the food ever showed up, or Esh Me'esh, or Hashlachas Kisim, all of these are potential nafkaminas. And these all will potentially make sense once you accept that Hecker matters. Once you accept that a lack of Shashasnas or reduction of Shashasnas can make it mutter, even though it is absolutely
So going back to the thing you've been bringing up all the time. If you see if your housekeeper was cooking and you first thought, oh, turn it off, and then you went and looked, oh, let me listen to the shear, and then, oh, I'll add some spices and turn back on the flame. Then that's good.
So
I saved my thing by adding something to the by putting it back on and adding something to it.
So now let's talk halacha lemaisa. So what happens, Taka, if you took it off and put it back on? What happens if you took it off and you put it back on? Or... So Lamasa, if you're a Sfardi,
you're done.
And well, Sfardi with Mechaber, the Mechaber follows the Rajba, but there he says, well, Makom Tzorech, you can make it. But normally not. Normally you would throw it unless you really need it. But the Rama seems very comfortable. And the Shach also says, Chinas Kamas Rava Poskim. But he does point out that there are Ashkenazi poskim who are machmir. He says, look, the Marshal was machmir. And the Gra also is not so happy. He says, what do you do with the Gemara? So we definitely would not l'chadchila, literally l'chadchila. In other words, if you ask me, I walked into the kitchen, I see the food is on the nachil of the food on the fire, what should I do? We would not advocate turn the fire off. That's definitely not the thing to do. If you turn the fire off, now we're going to start clearing, can you make it mutter by turning the fire back on? But you should not turn the fire off. What you should do instead is let the fire go. If anything, raise the fire. Raise the fire. That's chitoy. Or stir. Do something to the fire while it's still on. And in terms of also, if the Jew put it on in a way that would not be misbashel at all, yeah, poskim are not so convinced that we should be makel. Because again, even if you accept Hecker, but to say to the extent that we're going to assume Machlokes Asugs will reject Amron Amr Aleph, that's so the Shach is not so excited about it. The Taz is not so excited. Well, the Taz second teretz is probably what the Shach is driving at also, but filtered through the language of the Rosh. That we're not super excited about this. It's really, we're not so excited about it. Why? Because we're not read, even if you hold the Hecker, we're not, unless you're the Rambam or the Ramah, you're not necessarily ready to say, yet Mamash holds as soon as we reject them enough.
But Eish Me Eish,
we are Mekel. Ashkenazim are Mekel and Eish Me Eish. Ashkenazim are Mekel and Kisim. And in terms of that, let's end with two practical points. Number one, Sfardim. And number two, the light bulb. Here you see that, as you said, the other issue, which may or may not be related, is that Sfarad and number one don't think that anything to do with the fire alone is enough to ameliorate Bishul, only Pas. And they're particularly unhappy about Eish Meish and things like that. So practically speaking, to give Hashkacha on a restaurant for a Sfaradi is much more complicated than give Hashkacha on a restaurant for Ashkenazi, because the way, if you have non-Jewish staff, you know, cooking food, usually what an Ashkenazi Hashkacha will do is make sure that the Jews turn on all the fires, which is certainly fine if you're Ashkenazi. So if your mama's turn on the fires, without Eish Meish, it's certainly good. We're making an Eish Meish as well. But for a Sfaradi, it doesn't help. For a Sfaradi, turning the fire only helps for Pas, not for Bishul. So I believe that, I think the OU and several other Hashkacha organizations have it work part of their agreement with restaurants that give, or at least some, I don't know, all restaurants, some restaurants that have non-Jewish cooks, is that part of the Hashkacha agreement is that we're going to do, the Mashkir doesn't light the fire, but if a customer requests, they you have to allow them to come in and stir the pot. And that's something that knowledgeable Sfaradim will do. It gives that some places, some restaurants, understandably, are not, either from a safety perspective, from an insurance perspective, or a culinary perspective. You're going to come, you're going to stir, you're going to mess up the food, then you're going to complain, you don't like the food. You're not a cook. So if the restaurant is not comfortable with that, for whatever reason, so then the only way you can have a Sfaradi Hashkacha is either the Mashkich is mamar stirring all the pots, or you have Jewish staff working the pots, or the food isn't Bishul Akum susceptible. So that becomes complicated. And then even in terms of Yisraelim, as we were saying before, even Hakerim have their limits. So here's an example. This is a practical, I think it remains a practical difference between various kashrus organizations is the following. How does this work in industrial contexts? We'll talk more next time about industrial context, specifically in terms of canning plants. That's going to be relevant to the next set of sifim. But when if you have a food that's Bishul Akum susceptible, so it's going to be more expensive because it means you have to have, it's not enough to have Yotze V'nichnas, you have to have Mashkiach there every time they turn on the oven because he has to turn the boiler. That way, Shagar Yisrael. What does he have to do? Hashlachas Kisim is good enough. You ever have Hashlachas Kisim in an industrial context? So Rabbi Heinemann had a chiddush that most other Hashkacha organizations do not accept, that you're going to have an oven. The Jews could be there every time you turn on the oven. He says that we'll insist that when they build a factory or a retrofit, and they include a fireproof light bulb socket in the side of the oven and the old-fashioned incandescent bulb that gives some heat. And the mashkiach will screw in or turn on that bulb. And that's Hashlachas Kisim. And then the fire goes on and off, but there's still that little bit of heat being provided by what the Jew did. So Heinemann was of the opinion, that's what the Starkei is, the Baltimore Vod. They follow the Pesachim of their Rav HaMachshir, as they ought to. Certainly a Mor HaRav, a significant Mor HaRav, and he's their Mor HaRav. So when the Starkei will give Hashkacha based on that, they will assume that the light bulb the star K light bulb is enough to be matir bishalakim, because that's a shachas kesem. That's the whole point of shachas kesem. It's not
light
significant.
Inside the oven?
Inside the oven. On the side of the oven. After you've done it in a way that's not going to shatter from the heat. I think most other major kosher organizations don't accept that, because Hagam, it's true, and it goes back to what Hagam, it's true that Shlachas Kisim is a hecker, but still, putting food on the counter is not a hecker. So Shlachas Kisim is a hecker because even though the Kisim doesn't substantively raise the heat, but you are doing something to the fire that is cooking the food. It's Mitzurav, that little piece of wood is Mitzurav to the rest of the fire. Masha'ena came, if you have a fire over here that the non-Jew lights, and I light a candle off to the side, that's arguably not Hashlachas Kisim. I have a kisim over, the kisim at least has to be added to the Eish HaMavashel. Say I have a bulb on the side that's not Mitzurav, it's in the same oven cavity, but it's not Mitzurav to the heat source. The actual heat source is doing the job, it's the business end of things. So then most poskim are not comfortable with it. So if you live in Baltimore, you follow the Pesachim of Rabbi Hagman, so that's what you ought to do. But if not, so then most kosher organizations would steer around that. It becomes more expensive, because it means the light bulb, you can set it and forget it. And the boiler can go on and off over the course of a year, but a long light bulb lasts. If you know how long your light bulb lasts, you're good to go. And you just have mashgiach yotzei v'nichnas to make sure that everything is kosher. Mashgiach, okay, if you're not relying on the light bulb, that means every time you start up the equipment, you have to have a mashgiach there from the outset to light the fire, or to do something that lights, that drives the light of the fire, so that so that'll be what.